Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Is the word of a school district enough anymore? Before now, the state relied on Ohio school districts to accurately and honestly report data related to attendance and test scores, two factors that go into a district's all-important state report card. In June, the Columbus Dispatch reported Columbus City Schools, however, had altered enrollment data to improve the overall test score data. Then Toledo school officials admitted that they had manipulated enrollment records. Then the State Department of Education reported that the Cincinnati area Lackland School District also had changed student enrollment information. Now State Auditor David Yost is launching a statewide investigation into how schools report this data to the State Department of Education, and the state is under the microscope as well for a potential lack of oversight. Joining us now to sort out the issue and its implications is one of the reporters who broke the story for the Columbus Dispatch, Bill Bush. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thanks, Ann.
I wanted to let our listeners know we did invite representatives from the State Auditor's Office and the State Department of Education. The Auditor's Office declined our invitation. The Ohio Department of Education also declined our invitation. They said because of the call-in format of the show. We also invited Columbus Schools Chief Jean Harris, who was unable to join us today, but who has promised to join the show as soon as her schedule permits. We'll keep you posted on that. So, Bill, let's talk first about why we count attendance in the first place. It's not just so the kid... So the parents know whether their kid's been showing up to school anymore. In fact, it really doesn't have anything to do with that at all.
That's right. About 10 years ago, or longer now, Ohio launched into this accountability system where the state legislature said, we want to know how schools are doing. And they measure a bunch of things. One of them's attendance. One of them's graduation rates. They measure how kids perform in math, reading, science at different grade levels. They start at the third grade. They go through the 10th grade, I believe. And then they have a graduation test. And not only do schools get graded, but entire districts get graded, and they can compare, you know, how different groups of students are doing. Then came the federal government, and they said, well, we even want to get even more technical with this. We want to break it down by how are different income groups doing? How are different races of kids doing? So it's pretty technical stuff, and it all flows through this thing called EMIS, the Education Reporting System of the State of Ohio, the Department of Education. And every year, school districts across the state, some 600 of them, report this EMIS data to the state, and it goes right down to the school level and the grade level. And so you can actually go on the state Ohio Department of Education website, look up your school, how did third graders do in reading last year? And you can get that data, and it will tell you how they performed on standardized proficiency tests. And the way that this all flows in, you can compare how different schools are doing. And the idea was, well, let's see who's doing well and try to make, you know, changes to the other schools to learn from what the schools that are doing well are doing. So
there's a lot of reasons why they collect the data. And it's part of a matrix of data. It's not necessarily meant to be looked at independent of all the other stuff.
That's right. And it also has to do with funding. I mean, the very beginning of the school year, they have what's called in Ohio the October headcount. And so there's a week in October where if you're a parent, you get these letters saying, make sure your kid's in school this week, because if he's not in school this week, we might not get our state aid for that student. So right there begins the recording of data, and that has to do with attendance right at the beginning of the school year, where your school district, if they, you know, don't get the attendance up, will get less money. So they want to get an accurate reading of attendance.
They want to get as many people in there as they can.
That's exactly right.
But exactly right. When it comes to the correlation between attendance and how kids are doing on the state achievement tests— then it's a different story. Then they want the low performers or as few of those as possible to be counted in that number.
Well, that's what we're
ideally.
Yes, and that's what we're learning from this whole story that broke in mid-June, is that apparently there was some glitch in the system, in the EMIS reporting system, that if a school principal disenrolled a kid, and that means like, the kid left the school, such as got up and went from Hilliard schools to Dublin schools. That would be a disenrollment. And that means he's gone. And, of course, the state says, well, if the kid's not in your district and you're not teaching him, then we're not going to hold you responsible for that kid's test scores. So we're going to let you then knock them out of the system. So they may have already taken a test somewhere along the line. And then if you disenroll them and said they left, that would knock their test out of the system. It would knock it out of the school's aggregate. And then it would also knock it out of the district's aggregate. So the allegation is that some schools figured out that by controlling the attendance, they could control the test scores.
There's a difference between disenrollment and the attendance, right?
Yes, exactly. And there apparently, and we're learning a lot about this ourselves, but there were two sides to this. And they could do it for different reasons. The report card does report attendance as one of the state standards that a school and a district has to meet. Ohio says that kids should be in school 93% of the time, and they count it by the day. So if you're in school 93% of the days, that kid met the standard. Then they aggregate that all together. But apparently, when they disenrolled a student for reasons of trying to control the test, if there were attendance days where the kid was absent, that wouldn't make sense on the computer system. Because if the kid left and went from Hilliard to Dublin, why would he be absent in Hilliard? So, and not to say that it is Hilliard and Dublin, it's Columbus City Schools at this point, Toledo and Lachlan.
Mm-hmm.
And others are being investigated also. So I guess I should stop suggesting that it's Hilliard and Dublin. But it's the Columbus City Schools, the allegation is that when a kid would leave, or when a kid got disenrolled, they would have to go back and delete attendance days, or else it would look on the system that the kid was absent, say, for 2 weeks in September, and they'd say, well, the kid left the district. Why was he absent?
But just hadn't been counted then. It had been counted as absences, had notified the district. It was inaccurate.
Well, it would make no sense if the kid had really left and switched districts,
right,
that he would be absent in a Columbus City School. So that was what was tied to the allegation, was that then they would go back and delete absence days. And we found they deleted millions and millions of these absence days over the course of 5.5 years. That's what the database that we were able to obtain through the Columbus City Schools.
When you disenroll somebody, do you have to say why?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
And Columbus actually breaks it down further than the state even requires. Columbus will say, did you leave the country? That's a reason. Did you leave the state of Ohio? Did you leave the 6-county area surrounding Franklin County? And then there's other reasons. You know, they will actually say, did you go to another school district? And they will list the school district. And so all of that flows through the EMIS system because the state wants to verify that the kid really did leave school. So if they said, the state can do what's called longitudinal tracking. If Columbus says the kid did leave and go to Southwestern City Schools, the state should be able to look and see that the kid did enroll in Southwestern City Schools. So they can see him leaving Columbus and enrolling in another district.
My guest is Bill Bush. He's a reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, and he, along with Jennifer Smith Richards, wrote a story back in June 24th, I believe, that pretty much broke the story about the manipulation of attendance and enrollment records in schools or in the Columbus City Schools. Since then, it's been discovered that the same problem has occurred in Toledo City Schools and also in Lachlan, a very small district near Cincinnati, as it were. These tend to be the problems, or they're the correlations that you're looking at, Bill, tend to be in larger urban districts, right?
Well, we know for sure that two of the three that have basically are either under investigation or have been sanctioned by the state were the largely urban districts. They were Toledo and Columbus. Cleveland in 2008 faced a similar type situation, and they were sanctioned for that in 2008, which some people are saying now, well, what happened at the state level after the Cleveland City Schools basically were caught doing this? What did the state do to go in and see if the other districts were doing this? And that's kind of, I think, part of what the state auditor is looking at right now, is saying, okay, well, you had evidence in 2008 that Cleveland did this. It affected all sorts of things, from, you know, could affect state aid to, you know, report card data. What did you do? And I think that's part of what's being investigated.
Did you ask that question when you first started your reporting?
Yeah.
Because you knew about the 2008 report.
Yeah, it was an when we first started our story, it was all about Columbus City Schools. So things have kind of snowballed quickly, and now the entire state of Ohio is under investigation by, and every school district in the state of Ohio is under investigation by both the Department of Education and the Auditor of State. But we did ask that question, and we haven't, and we are still digging into that question.
You're just waiting for an answer.
Well, we're still you know, getting around to pressing the state about that question. Of course, the State Department of Education has changed since 2008. Many of those officials are no longer there. So it might be a little bit of legwork involved in tracking them down, trying to see if they'll talk to us and see, you know, why didn't you take it a step further in 2008?
In your original report with Jennifer Smith Richards, your three unnamed sources, all former analysts for the Columbus schools, said that this has been going on for years. Is there any sense about how far back this goes? Is it pretty much connected to this pressure with the standardized testing or not?
Well, I think it probably is. Obviously, these are high-stakes tests. Today, Columbus City Schools has a contract with its teachers union called gain sharing, so they can get actually financial bonuses if their school performs better on these standardized tests. It's unclear, we're still trying to find out, whether principals, who appear to be the people who got into the system and altered attendance records, whether they had any potential financial gain from changing the records. Now, the gain sharing bonuses, they aren't huge by any stretch. You know, I don't have the.
Would they motivate somebody to commit possibly fraud?
That's one of the questions I think that's probably being looked at right now. Is for what are the possible range of motives that they would go in and erase literally millions of records? I mean, it takes a lot of work to do that. You've already got someone entering it in at the school level every day, entering attendance data into a huge database. And then you got someone going back later and taking it out. So that's a lot of work. And now we're talking in the millions of records here. So it's a great question. What motivates them? Is it just the getting the report card up just for public relations value that our school did better and we're making progress? Or could it be there's some financial motive?
Your sources also point to one man, an official in the district's data center, Steve Tankovich. What did he do and what kind of authority did he have?
Well, Steve Tankovich.
He's still there, right? Or he's on leave now.
He's been reassigned to a new job. He's still at a district desk. He's a longtime district employee. I think he rose up through the ranks as a principal and then to downtown administrator. But several years ago, the Columbus City Schools did a buyout where they paid people to retire. Steve Tankovich was actually paid to retire. I think he got paid in the six figures. It was like $170,000, something to that effect. And so, but then the Gene Harris brought him right back and put him at his same job at the district data center where he was the head of accountability. And basically that job is gathering all of the test scores from all of the schools and all of the attendance records and making sure it all gets fed into the system properly, training people how to do it, and then reporting it all to the state at the end of the year in June when the state requires districts to turn it all over so that it can be on their school report cards.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7. We'll return to our conversation with Bill Bush about the alleged monkey business regarding attendance data and test scores with Columbus City Schools and across the state, perhaps. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
They may be on wheels, and they are more informal than a fancy steakhouse or even the corner pizza parlor. But food trucks must comply with the same food safety regulations as restaurants that don't move.
When we come in, we look at things such as general cleanliness, We also look at
the... Hear the latest in local and national news on Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
This is 89.7 NPR News, 83 degrees in downtown Columbus. Mostly sunny skies today with a high of 87. Clear skies tonight, a low of 62 degrees. More sunshine on Thursday with a high of 90. Looking for an easy way to support our station? How about joining our sustaining giving program? As a sustainer, your membership never expires, and your member card renews annually. Visit WOSU.org/sustainer to sign up. And thanks for your support. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about the irregularities and suspected fraud by school districts or district employees in Columbus, Toledo, and Cincinnati area district Lackland with dispatch reporter Bill Bush. If you have a question or comment for Bill about their reporting at the dispatch, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org, and you can go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there as well. Okay, joining us now is Molly Bloom, digital reporter for State Impact Ohio. Molly is a Kent-based digital reporter, as I said, for State Impact Ohio. It's a collaboration of WCPN, WKSU, and WOSU and NPR. Welcome to the show, Molly Bloom.
Thank you.
You wrote on Sunday that the Ohio school attendance data probe shouldn't be a huge surprise. The Cleveland Plain Dealer wrote 4 years ago about this practice. So what did we know back then?
What we knew back then in 2008 when they wrote about it was that schools were removing students from the group of students who actually counted for their state report card test results at varying rates. Some districts, you know, would remove as many as 15% of their students from counting. Others would remove less, and that was something that was concerning to at least one Ohio Department of Education official at the time.
So it was a concern to one official at the time. At the time, was there much of a reaction otherwise?
You know, I wasn't in Ohio in 2008, but my understanding is that there was no big, you know, a firestorm of publicity, no, you know, giant statewide investigation into whether or not this was a big problem.
The report found that in Ohio's eight major urban districts, an average of about 15% of the scores didn't count towards the district's state grades. Has that been correlated with the high turnover rate among students, the high level of transients in urban districts to begin with? Is that pretty typical anyway?
There are certainly legitimate reasons why a student might disenroll from a school, enroll in another, why they, you know, children have complicated lives, they might be truant. So that in itself doesn't mean that anyone's cheating.
Bill Bush?
Yeah, one thing I'll point out is that particularly in large urban districts where a lot of the kids are going to charter schools, there can be a lot of disenrolling and re-enrolling. Kid could leave and go to a charter school, not like it, end up coming back in the same school year. So that's the type of thing that, you know, just the fact that the numbers are there didn't mean that there was anything wrong going on. It's just possible that that was the legitimate, you know, number that of kids that were disenrolling and re-enrolling.
Yeah, the Plain Dealer wrote back in 2008 that there was nothing legally wrong with scrubbing done right. So what does scrubbing done right mean? It's when someone legitimately has left, someone legitimately has been absent too many days.
Yeah, I mean, scrubbing technically means to clean up the data. I don't know if, you know, when people are dealing with large data tables that are being entered at the school level, you know, 130 different schools in Columbus City Schools, and the secretary every morning is typing in the data into a huge database. Things can they can make mistakes, and also the system can make mistakes and sometimes duplicate things. And the scrubbing would be when you would go back and say, "Wow, this looks weird. Nobody attended school at this elementary school yesterday. That can't be right." And they call up and say, "Well, that's not right. The number that we have here is X." And they go back and correct it. There's a legitimate reason for doing that if you know that the reason is that you're doing it to get the correct, legitimate information into the system. But, you know, what is alleged here is that it wasn't being done for that. It was that some of the numbers make no sense at all, that kids had 100% attendance at some schools.
And that's statistically very unlikely.
Well, that they would leave and go to a charter school and come back, you know, and yet they were at school X 100% of the days. When did they leave and still have
100% attendance?
Exactly. Did they leave on Friday night and come back on Monday morning? And the state's saying, no, that's impossible. You know, leaving is a process under state law. It's not like you just get up and say, I'm leaving and I'll be back on Monday.
Well, that brings up the whole issue of state oversight. State Auditor Dave Yost's investigation of Columbus schools' enrollment data practices extended to focus on the entire state of Ohio after rumors of fudged enrollment data in Toledo surfaced. Here was Education Department spokesman John Charlton's response.
I think that the employees of the Department of Education are doing the best job they can to certify and verify that the information being entered is correct. Like I said, it has been a system that will rely on the integrity of the school districts to enter it openly and honestly and accurately. And I don't think that anyone here is trying to cover anything up at all. I think that we're all on the up and up.
The system, as Charlton states, is based primarily on integrity and reporting the facts truthfully. So what about the oversight issue? What do we know about the process the state went through to check things out?
That's what we're trying to find out right now, is what type of oversight, you know, what type of ability did the state have to look at the data and say, this makes no sense at all? And did anyone have that role? Was there any auditing done that said, you know, your data here doesn't make sense? That, I think, is part of what the state auditor is looking at when the state auditor announced that they were going to now look at the Department of Education and find out, you know, did they play a role either just through negligence or other reasons that nobody ever picked up the phone and called one of these school districts and said, hey, you know, your data just doesn't make any sense.
You know, this is Molly. Mm-hmm. I would point out that schools report just reams of data to the Department of Education on all kinds of things, from teacher salaries to how much they spend to attendance. And ODE says they do check it. But when we've looked at other types of data, too, from, you know, again, teacher salaries to expenditures, there have been some data that just, again, seems unbelievable, that it seems like there's been an obvious error. And, you know, ODE says in those kinds of cases, they can ask schools to correct it, but if schools don't correct it, there's not much that happens.
Who follows up? Abe in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My comment is about the charter schools, and it came up. I think the charter schools should also be investigated. Everything now is being focused on public school district, but the computer schools especially are the ones that have a lot of trouble keeping track of who is when and doing what, whatever they're doing. And there is a question. Now, every kid in the district has a number. Every school in the district has a number. Every kid has a number. There's really no reason why they can't track it. Okay, I happen to know this because I work on the testing side, and I see that kids have a specific number. So there is no reason that they shouldn't be able to track where a kid is at any particular moment.
And they can track. That's that longitudinal tracking that Ohio implemented several years ago. So when a kid has like what's akin to like a Social Security number, mm-hmm. that's being tracked by the Ohio Department of Education. So when they switch schools, it should show up that they switch schools. And I will say about the charter schools that they are being investigated. The state auditor and the Department of Education said they're going to investigate everyone in the state right now, and some of the numbers for some charter schools do look suspect. They have high attendance and yet very low achievement at some schools.
And Abe, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. The political blog Plunderbun has said that now that Ohio Auditor Dave Yost has uttered the idea of a systemic issue, we should consider that this might not mean systemic cheating, but that the systemic problem originates with the Ohio Department of Education. Plunderbun wrote that the problem is a lack of clarity in the ODE guidelines and state laws. And the Toledo Board of Education President Lisa Sobecki told the Toledo Blade newspaper that she welcomes the auditor's office doing the investigation. It should, she said, bring the clarification school districts across the state have been asking for. Is that the case? Have districts been asking for clarification on this issue? Are the state law and the rules put in place to implement the law unclear?
I think it all goes back to the motive for why you're changing large amounts of data. If you're just changing them to make your school district look better, I don't think there's going to be much of a case when you go to the Ohio Department of Education and say, well, we didn't know we couldn't do that. We didn't know we couldn't just find ways to manipulate the data to make our test scores look better. I mean, you got to have a reason for changing the data. If you know what you're entering in is not correct, then I think you're going to have a hard explanation that, well, you didn't put a big sign on top of the bank saying I couldn't rob the bank, so therefore it was unclear to me. So I just went ahead and did it, and it's your fault for not putting it in big letters and calling me up and telling me, hey, don't manipulate your state report card for your own public relations reasons.
Molly Bloom, do we have a sense about the extent to which districts across the state of Ohio were confused about the, what the process should be and as far as counting days and de-enrolling?
Well, the process that they're supposed to follow is pretty clear. I mean, it's a complicated data system, but the process for doing that is laid out for them. And you have principals, for example, new principals coming into a school where they're told, you know, this is how we do it, this is what the practice is. And so, you know, they may just go ahead and do that and think there's nothing wrong with it. This is just how we work the system.
And there are legitimate reasons for doing it, absolutely. And no doubt in school districts where there are high mobility rates and there is a tie between poverty and mobility rates, if people are moving around because, you know, they got kicked out of their apartment or they need to find a new job, their kids are coming with them and they're moving from school to school, district to district. And many urban districts have these high mobility rates. So no doubt there are legitimate reasons to correct the data when you go back. Because what happens at the school level is the kid just doesn't show up one day, and at first they're marked as absent. And then after a couple weeks go by, it gets learned later that, well, this kid turned up at another school district. Then they go back and disenroll them and delete the absences. That's legitimate. That's a legitimate way to handle these things. So no doubt it's just getting between, you know, how many of these were legitimate, done for real reasons to reflect the accuracy of what was really going on, and how many of them were done just out of a pure desire to manipulate the
How
system.
Do you begin? How many school districts are in Ohio now?
600 something. Yeah.
And then there's another couple hundred charter schools.
Right. Basically the same old 800 as we've always had, it seems like. But how do you start to begin an investigation like this? Is it going to be a sampling of schools? The state auditor, Dave Yost, has said he wants to wrap this up. In an interview with WKSU, he explained why he'd like to have this investigation closed by fall. Let's listen.
Reason for that is we're coming up on a fall election, and there will be districts around the state that are trying to make their case to the voters that they need a levy. And we don't want the folks that have been playing by the rules to have a cloud hanging over them. We don't want them tarred with the same brush as those who have been playing fast and loose.
So I guess what kind of resources are at his disposal to do this kind of a job before the levies go to the ballot in November?
Well, I think Ohio law allows the state auditor to charge back to the districts for doing auditing services. So what's going to happen here probably is the districts themselves may end up paying part of the bill.
And if they have done nothing wrong, they still have to pay part of the bill?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not a lawyer, mm-hmm. and
right.
I'm not sure about that. But I know that the auditor can at some point has some power to charge the districts for investigations like this.
Go ahead, Molly Bloom.
So one of the odd things about the timing of this is that the Department of Education says they still plan to release their report cards on August 29th. Which seems like it would be earlier than the fall timeline that the auditor has set out. So we could be in a situation where these report cards come out and the auditor's investigation is still ongoing, and then there's the question of, you know, what happens once that second report comes out? Are those report card grades actually real?
And also they can go back, the Department of Education can go back and change previous year's report cards, too.
This could go all the way back until they find out. Now, we are talking about multiple years, too.
Oh, absolutely.
We're not just talking about the last school year. So, I'm incredulous, frankly, at the logistics of this and how they're going to achieve this before the November election. But
I think the auditor's office is, too.
Yeah, okay.
Well, some of it's automated. Some of it's going to be automated. They're going to do queries to see, you know, where you have an attendance database and a disenrollment database, and we're going to run those two things against each other and see when it doesn't make sense.
And start looking for anomalies first.
Exactly. And then those things will jump off the page, and those will probably be the first districts getting phone calls saying, explain what you did right here.
Okay.
But I'd point out again that, I mean, the dispatch actually reported that the auditor's office knew at least that Columbus had suspicions, I believe, as early as last August.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's not a huge surprise in that way.
And the state, it started out that the Ohio Department of Education was going to look into this. Then the state auditor got involved. Then they were going to work together. And now the state Ohio Department of Education is
under investigation.
Are they still going forward with their own investigation, or have they dropped off on that?
No, they're still going forward with their own investigation. It is kind of an odd situation that they started off as partners, and then one of the partners said, well, wait a minute, we're going to investigate you now. And we're waiting now for the Department of Education to say, well, we're going to investigate you now.
Yeah.
Because you've known about it since last August. You know, what have you been doing? And they basically told this. They told the Columbus City Schools. The Columbus City Schools went to them in August of 2011, went to the Auditor of State, and said, we have this issue where kids are going to truancy court in Franklin County because they're chronic truants. So these are kids that are missing, you know, large amounts of school. And when the judges looked up their records, they would see that the kids had perfect attendance, and they would dismiss the cases. That's how the whole thing got started. And so when the district's internal auditor found out about this, and Superintendent Gene Harris also was alerted to this, they went to the state auditor and told them about this. And the state auditor basically said, we're going to leave it at the district right now. Let your internal auditor look into this, and we'll monitor it and see what happens. It wasn't until we wrote our stories in June that the state got involved.
And I think that points out that there are real children behind these, you know, records and these numbers, that, you know, children who are not being educated, you know, if they're not in school, you know, that schools aren't held accountable for.
You know, Molly, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask, when these records are scrubbed for any reason, are parents notified?
No way.
So that they can say, well, wait a minute. Again, once again, another point of, you know, double checking or triple checking. No, that wasn't the accurate or whatever.
Well, apparently some kids were trying to get services for dropouts and were being denied services
because
for dropouts.
Because
when they looked up their records, they said, well, you're not a dropout. You've got great attendance. What are you doing here?
Hmm.
So you don't qualify for this program. So, I mean, yeah, there were kids getting affected. And I think the issue that it was affecting juvenile court is a huge issue, which we really haven't heard too much about.
All these other ancillary effects.
Yeah, I mean, here you got kids that are basically just not coming to school, and Ohio has a system that says, okay, well, then you're going to go to court, and you're going to explain to a judge, and this judge is going to ensure that you go to school. And here they had at least 16 kids. That's what started the whole thing.
Well, they're usually with their parents, too.
Right.
When a judge all of a sudden says you have perfect attendance.
Exactly. The parents get dragged in there, too, and said, hey, you know, you're going to get in trouble if your kid doesn't start going to school.
And then they're like, oh, good, we're not in trouble
anymore. They show up in court and they walk out probably scratching their head. I don't know what just happened. You know, I haven't been to school in 4 months, but I just walked right out of court saying I had perfect attendance.
Sometimes the system works for me. Sometimes it works against me.
The type of thing that there were so many changes going on that it was affecting things that they were not intending to affect.
Right. My guest, Bill Bush, he's education reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, and also Molly Bloom, digital reporter for State Impact Ohio. Molly, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Bill and more. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
A On the next Fresh Air, how Paul Ryan captured the GOP. We talk with Ryan Lizza of The New Yorker about the chair of the House Budget Committee. Lizza says if you want to imagine what Republicans would do if they win in November, the person to understand is Paul Ryan. Lizza's article about Ryan is in the current edition of The New Yorker. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And beginning Thursday night, join WOSU-TV for a special airing of the great Ken Burns documentary series, War. It's the story of the Second World War told through the personal accounts of a handful of men and women from four American towns. The war touched the lives of every family, on every street, in every town in America, and demonstrated that in extraordinary times, there are no ordinary lives. Watch the acclaimed 7-part series, War, beginning Thursday night at 9 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, providing a disciplined approach to help individuals and small businesses grow and maintain their wealth. TheMontgomerySolution.com.
83 degrees in downtown Columbus, mostly sunny skies today with a high of 87, clear skies tonight, a low of 62, mostly sunny on Thursday with a high of 90. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about the irregularities and suspected fraud by school districts or district employees in Columbus, Toledo, and Cincinnati area district of Lackland with dispatch reporter Bill Bush. Once again, Bill, thanks for joining us today.
No problem, man.
And joining us now is Damon Asbury. He's director of legislative services for the Ohio School Board Association. Damon is a former executive director of the state teachers retirement system and a former superintendent of the Worthington City Schools and former associate superintendent for Columbus City Schools. Welcome to the show, Damon.
Oh, good morning, Ann.
You were quoted in the Columbus Dispatch recently talking about how educators object to high-stakes testing and its consequences. And does this have anything to do with what we're talking about today?
Well, I don't think that's 100% clear. Certainly, it's a reasonable implication. And I think the reason that educators have had issues with high-stakes testing is that it puts all of the issues on the shoulders of one test at one point in time.
You say the focus should be on students, not the test, but that the media report grade cards, which push pressures on teachers and schools. How should the public regard its school districts in terms of these report cards then?
Well, I think report cards are certainly one useful way to look at data about a school district. But I think, parents need to access a variety of sources to examine the quality, the issues, the problems, the successes of a school district. Look beyond simple achievement test result.
It seems like when people are talking about it, everybody agrees with that. But in the end, we fall back on this hard data. Hard's a relative word these days, but on this kind of data. Is it the sort of thing that shouldn't be reported, or how would it be useful?
Oh, no, I think it's perfectly appropriate to report those results. I think it's important also that when those reports are issued, that people are given information about the limitations of the measures, and that to really know what's going on, you need multiple measures and multiple types of measures to really assess the quality of teaching, the quality of learning that goes on in a district.
In a Toledo Blade story, the superintendent of Toledo's second-largest school district, Washington Local Schools, said that they knew that other school districts were doing this. So was this common knowledge in the business?
Well, this is actually the first time I with the reports about Columbus and then the subsequent reports mm-hmm. on Toledo and Lackland, those were the first real information that I had about anything like this going on. So at this point in time, we don't know whether it was limited to just a few districts or if it is a more common practice. I certainly think that I saw in the dispatch that the suburban superintendents in the main said they were not engaged in that kind of activity.
Right, they did say that, and I read that today, Bill, but is it something that warrants checking anyways? I mean, just because they say so, does it mean anything anymore?
Oh, I mean, I believe that the education community will look forward to the results of the audit to find out exactly, you know, what the issues are, how they have been impacting reporting of data. You know, I think that, you know, EMIS reporting is a relatively complex matter that's generally happens pretty far down the organizational table. So I think it's one of those things that there's not a real clear understanding of, you know, what goes into an EMIS report, what goes into the attendance report, when is it legitimate. There are legitimate reasons for changing attendance records based on, you know, new information. If a student has been reported as unexcused and then the parent brings in an excuse, then you change that record. But I think we just need to have the facts. When Auditor Yost issues his report, I think we'll all be very eagerly looking to see just what the facts are.
Yeah, I think the reason they probably want to check all districts now is it almost seems like it's a glitch in the computer system. It's kind of like when you're playing a video game and you figure out by doing a certain thing you can jack up your score. Well, they figured out by breaking this 120-day attendance where the kid said they disenrolled and re-enrolled, that all of a sudden their scores would change. And then you do it to another student and it changes. It changes the performance index. It changes all sorts of, you know, who's being counted in the pool of test scores. So it's like a glitch. So I think the state at this point is going, okay, well, we've got a couple districts here that have basically identified a weakness in our reporting system and have been in there messing with it. And they want to go and see if anyone else figured it out. And, you know, these are pretty close circles. If Columbus figured it out and Toledo figured it out and even Lachlan, a school district with 600 students, figured it out, there's probably a few other people that figured it out, too.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
What do we know about Lachlan? Not much in this corner. It's a very, very small district. Were there any kind of characteristics of the district that would warrant them having to do this?
The interesting thing about Lachlan was how few test scores it took. They only, I think, were able to kick out 30-some students, 34 or so students. It increased their report card dramatically. A lot of things changed when the state went back and corrected the data. So it can make this, you know, this. You basically, in this Ohio report card, you get an A, B, C, D, or F. And so it can raise you, you know, from a D to a C, you know, or it could raise you from a C to a B by knocking out as few as 34 students in Lachlan. Now, Lachlan only had 600 students, so Columbus has 50,000 students, and they were changing millions of records.
An email from Frank. He asks, does anyone know if there have been any efforts to recover the deleted data? How much money has been spent on collecting data which would be extremely valuable if it were intact, which has been rendered essentially useless by this, as he puts it, corruption? But, of course, we don't know yet,
right,
for sure.
Right. It's being investigated. That looks suspect at this point.
Alleged,
and there,
right,
are people saying, well, we know why they were doing it. They were doing it to get their report cards up, and it wasn't on the up and up. So we know all that. My understanding of the system is you never really delete anything. You know, it's always there hanging around someplace, at least who made the changes, you know, and how many changes they made. And that's how, and one thing I will say is that's how we're figuring this out, is that the system is recording whenever someone logs on and makes a change and what they did. And that's going to probably come back to haunt a lot of people who made these changes. I don't know if they were aware that everything they did was going into a log on the system, and that the people who are in the data center who really know how to get into the system and look at what happened, they can get these logs, figure out who made what change when.
Yeah, there's actually no such thing as eliminating data from a computer.
Demon, right.
unless you put it in a, you know,
drop it to the ocean.
Yeah, the ocean or something. Yeah.
Damon Asbury, you were superintendent for Worthington City Schools, obviously a well thought of, you know, suburban school district. Still, the reporting requirements for any district nowadays is much different. And I was wondering, when were you superintendent? How have things changed since you were in the business in that way?
Well, I was superintendent there from 90, 1990 to 2000, so
okay.
10 years. But I've been gone 12 years. So as you say, a lot of things have changed. Certainly, the report card was just beginning to get underway in the mid to late 90s,
right.
And obviously, you know, as a superintendent, I was certainly very concerned that, you know, we put our best foot forward, and that we so, you know, most of our conversation had to do with ensuring that our teachers were aware of, you know, what was being tested, what the standards were, making sure that the graded courses of study that we had adopted were, in fact, being presented to the students, and, you know, using a variety of ways to assess student progress and trying to hone in on, you know, where we were weak, where we were strong. And, you know, sometimes in a suburban district, that's more difficult because everyone, you know, believes that every child is going to be going to Harvard. And
Lake Wobegon syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. The reality is that, you know, every school district has a variety and a range of students and student abilities, and similarly with the teaching staff. And so, you know, a big part of the effort is making sure people know what the expectations are.
And that's been part of the criticism of the report card system in general, is that schools will, in order to boost their report cards, will focus on the kids that are really close to being able to pass the report card. They will ignore the really smart kids because they're going to pass the report card test, the proficiency test anyway,
mm-hmm.
and they will ignore the kids that are doing so, they're so far behind
the
that they don't
kids.
Have a chance with those kids. So then they focus on this middle group of kids, and that's been the criticism of the whole report card system going back 12 years.
Well, I think that's certainly an accurate appraisal, but I think the other, you know, issue with report cards and the tests underlying them is that, you know, it narrows the range of instruction. I think gives only so much time in the school day. Teachers feel the need to make sure that they're covering that material that's likely to be tested, and it takes away, I think, from the range of education that the wide richness that could be there if it weren't for that.
That's absolutely what has happened, is that school districts have changed. They've hired these consulting firms to change their curriculum to focus on getting kids to pass the proficiency test.
Sure. And we're going to see that with the new Common Core standards coming in.
In 2014,
yeah,
right?
It'll be, you know, just revisiting that. And again, I think that it's always been said, you know, the best education is, you know, that teacher in the classroom. It's that's what it's all about. And I think we need to, you know, give our teachers more confidence in what that they can, in fact, do a good job and, you know, be aware of these standards, but not teach to them.
We have an email from Tom. He's bringing up an issue that we really haven't gotten to yet, and I'm not sure anyone has. He asks, please clarify how much per day we pay in tax dollars for one student to attend school. He asks, is it $4 a day? But he says, multiply by the number of days that Columbus schools made up. What was the money used for? What were extra dollars used to pay for? I think the question is, one of the issues about change to getting people into that 1 week a year where it's counted for state funding, what about all of that?
I think what he's trying to get at there is, if they're counting the kid in October and getting money for the kid, plus they're getting, that's state money they get, plus they're getting the local tax dollars,
right.
Plus there's federal money involved too through No Child Left Behind. You know, if they're counting the kid and the kid, it's really not an accurate count, they're inflating it in October and then dropping the kid out later to knock out his test scores, you know, they're obviously getting money that that would have gone to somebody else. You know, they it's a per pupil formula, so you get money per pupil. So if you're fudging the figures, that's a point that you're getting the wrong amount of money, and the amount of money should set by law. So.
But it always depends on this, that 1 week in October, right, Damon Asbury?
That's right. That's right. So
it would be,
so it's either over, you know, it's either kid could be overreported, could be underreported. But at one time there was talking about moving from an average the ADM in October to a rolling average daily attendance. But I think that's been gone away, and certainly something we think would just increase the burden on school districts.
But if a kid really does disenroll and say goes to a charter school, then the state aid follows that kid to the charter school.
Right. Right. And you know, we're trying to prevent local money from following that child when they go to the charter school. The state money is a one matter.
In his, back in June, Bill Bush, you reported that the Education Department hadn't decided yet how to examine the district's attendance records. I'm still kind of stuck on the logistics of all of this. Ohio Department of Education spokesman John Charlton said, since then has said that the department is enhancing the data analysis systems and checking data from every regular public and charter school for suspicious changes. What enhancements are they going to make that they didn't already have? What will they be looking for?
Well, my understanding of this is you're dealing with huge databases, and you need the technical ability, the analysts, the data analysts who know how to get into those logs and see where things are suspicious. This is basically a forensic examination of data to see, you know, I don't know if, you know, when you are working with data and all of a sudden something flies off the page and you go, well, that just can't possibly be right. So there's a couple of explanations here. It's either someone just put the data in wrong, it's just a mistake, or let's call them up and find out what the answer is here.
If the state wasn't able to, hasn't been able to put forth the oversight that's been necessary to catch what you've caught over the years, and the State Department of Education has been really is a shadow of its former self back from the 90s because of layoffs and budget cuts. Is there a sense that they don't, I mean, do you feel confident they actually have the manpower to do this kind of a job now, and it's partly that they just don't have enough people?
And I think they can, you know, they have a lot of resources to draw on at the state level. And like I said, the auditor has the ability to charge things back to the district if, in certain circumstances. I don't think it's a matter of them not having the resources to do it. It might take time. But, you know, they just like when you launch any investigation at this point, they're probably just getting their hands around how big this thing is.
I think it may also have to do with just an assumption and the EMA system has been working. There haven't been any glitches. Nobody's paid. It's sort of running on its own, and people haven't paid because of the issues you talked about. Fewer staff, fewer resources. It may not have been as much of a priority as it was when it initially started.
Let's not forget too that Ohio has a report card too, and all of the school districts. Data aggregates up to the state level, and then every year Ohio gets a report card.
And is there any sense that this is going on nationally?
It's a very good question, because could you have altered your federal dollars somehow, and could other accountability, you know, No Child Left Behind basically requires each state to have an accountability system like Ohio has. They let them choose their own system.
Yeah, you know, I'm not absolutely sure, though, that the attendance data actually affects the report card actually affects the amount of dollars that come from the feds. I think it really has more to do with the economics of the district than the population itself. I mean, it may well have some implications. I'm not altogether sure. I know that other states have been investigating and reporting data problems, Georgia in particular.
Well, that was on the testing score, the scores, yeah. Changing scores on tests.
One thing that comes to mind is that districts get federal money for things like vocational education, special ed. Mm-hmm. So by changing the amount of kids that are in those programs, you could change your federal aid.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that way you can. Yeah, as I was saying, it's mostly on population and characteristics, special ed, vocational, economically disadvantaged.
I want to thank both my guests, Damon Asbury, Director of Legislative Services for the Ohio School Board Association. Thanks for joining us today, Damon.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Bill Bush, reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And thanks to everybody else. You can listen back to today's shows and every show by visiting WOSU.org/allsides. Explore our archive where you can find more information, links, audio, video, and podcasts. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Ann Fisher WOSU. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the State Auto Insurance Companies, providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.